Welcome to Turf Nets Renovation Report, brought to you by Gall Preservations and Jacobson. Here's your host, John Kiger.
And welcome to today's edition of Turf Nets Renovation Report. We are delighted to be joined by David Dorr-Smith from the Copperleaf Golf Club. Welcome, David.
Thank you, John. Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
Give us an overview of the Copperleaf Golf Club. What's your location? You're down in Florida, obviously, but what percentage of the membership is local versus seasonal? And just give us a quick overview of the age of the course, that sort of thing.
Sure. Located in Bonita Springs, Florida, southwest Florida. And the golf course was built back in 1999, opened up in 2000. So still a very young course as far as courses are concerned around the whole country. Originally designed by Gordy Lewis. And it's a housing development golf course. It's got houses along every hole. There are 570 houses on the property at Copperleaf. It's a bundled community, which means that everyone that owns a house becomes a member of the golf course, which has been great for us through the recession. It meant that, you know, still money was coming in towards the golf course maintenance and other projects around the whole club. So it's a great place to be.
Now, as a fairly young course, what were the existing problems or concerns behind the renovation that we're going to talk about today?
It was built back in the boom, and the architect Gordy Lewis wasn't given a whole lot of money to be creative, and that would be his own words. It was built very quickly to sell real estate, and when I first started here 12 years ago, one of the common themes of the golf course was that there was 18 greens and one fairway. It was quite plain, very open, not a lot of landscaping. And so over the past 12 years, through the help of the Green and Grounds Committee and the Board of Directors, we've added a lot of landscaping. And then about 3 years ago, during a period of heavy rain, we noticed that some of the greens' drainage wasn't working appropriately. So we carried out some ground-penetrating radar work, which is basically like an X-ray of the greens, and we discovered that there were many what they called bird bars within the greens, and that the drainage wasn't built probably appropriately for what it should have been to USGA specs. And so basically through that imagery, we were able to justify that a renovation needed to take place, and we had expected to have it done in 2020. And we then reached out to several architects and had them come in and propose a master plan for us, knowing that we had to close the golf course down to renovate the green. We also then asked the members what they liked about the golf course, what they didn't like about the golf course, so that we could address those issues during the period of the course closure.
Great. Well, the renovation report is brought to the TurfNet community by a couple of sponsors, and it's time that we hear from one of those sponsors. Here's some information from Jacobson.
TurfNet's Renovation Report is brought to you by Jacobson, makers of the all-new Truckster XD. The Truckster XD is a true heavy-duty utility vehicle and has the largest standard payload capacity in its class. It features a rugged and durable box made from thick 12-gauge steel and is paired with the most powerful gas Kubota engine available. The all-new Jacobson Truckster XD is designed to make your next renovation, or whatever your next project is, easier.
And we thank Jacobson as well as Golf Preservations for sponsoring TurfNet's Renovation Report. We're back with David Dorr-Smith from the Copperleaf Golf Club down in Florida. How long had the project been in the actual planning stages in terms of not just the long-term planning, but your individual planning as to, you know, these are the logistics of what we're going to do on this renovation?
Sure. So it really began in 2012, as mentioned, when we did the ground-penetrating radar work. And then going through about 12 months of trying to find an architect, we interviewed about five or six architects, and we settled with Kip Schulteis, local to South Florida, been doing a lot of renovation work. He then came in and held about six focus groups with different clientele categories, you know, low handicap males, high handicap females, and everything in between. And like I said, went through what they did and didn't like about the golf course. And then as the master plan was presented, you know, the buzz started around the golf course, and a question was posed at one of our town hall meetings to say, well, why are we going to do this in 2020? Why not do it now? And so the finance committee was charged with finding a way to finance the project and complete it this year.
When did the course actually close for the renovation? How long is it expected to take, and when is your go date for projected reopening?
golf course actually closed on April 13th. Roundup had been applied starting on March 16th, so about a month earlier, and we anticipate opening November 16th.
What's the mix of, say, local membership versus seasonal membership? I mean, obviously the timing of this would be such that the seasonal membership that would be down for the winter months would be out of the area, so obviously, you know, they're not interested in playing. But what's your approximate mix of local versus seasonal membership?
We have just under 30% of our members year-round, with obviously 70% going up north for the summer period. We do experience a lot of reciprocal play, and that's where neighboring clubs and their members can come and play our golf course. So that has been a financial impact that we have to consider as part of this project with regard to, you know, revenue being lost. We've had to also, you know, reduce the hours of the kitchen and the dining room because there's just simply not a golf course to attract people to come and play and then obviously eat afterwards. So that was all part of the planning process.
And is part of the reciprocal arrangement something that your local members or your year-round members were looking forward to in terms of being able to play courses in the area while the renovation was taking place?
Yes, that's something that we do every summer. One of the things we have to do, because normally it starts May 1st, because we shut down April 13th, we have to be considerate of our members that were still here. So we reached out to neighboring clubs and asked if we could open reciprocal season earlier. And fortunately, because of the relationships, the positive relationships we have down here, we have done the same thing for many clubs in the area. There's been an extraordinary amount of renovation work in Southwest Florida over the past 3 to 4 years. So very good relationship between superintendents and professionals. So it was not a problem.
Now, I know from visiting your course that in addition to the course, you're in charge, your department is in charge of the common grounds at Copperleaf. Has that helped in terms of your own staffing levels, in terms of being able to redirect people towards some of the renovation work, but as well as keeping people on staff for the common grounds work that's ongoing?
Yeah, it's one of the important things with regard to your renovation, and that is your employees as to what to do with them. Many of my members, especially the finance geared people, said, what are you going to do with your staff while the golf course is closed? And we were very fortunate. Our company that's doing the work, Landbeer Incorporated out of Florida, they needed employees. So we have actually given them 9 of our staff members to work with them to do drainage and putting sand in the bunkers and putting gravel in the green complexes and whatnot. So that has helped alleviate what I can do with my own staff. And then, like you mentioned, on the flip side, the employees that are currently under my direct guidance, we are maintaining the common grounds. We're doing a lot of work around the golf course as well as the renovation to the golf course. We're doing the front entrance, new tennis courts, new fitness center, renovating the pool, renovating the bocce courts. I mean, it's just quite a mess if you were to travel and visit here today. But we're staying extremely busy. We've experienced a lot of rain already this year, and plants are growing like crazy. So we are actively out there trimming, spraying Roundup, putting mulch down, whatever it takes to get things done.
Well, before we ask the next question, we do need to hear from our other sponsor, Gulf Preservations. We appreciate their sponsorship and support of the renovation report as well.
From greens drainage to sod work, Gulf Preservations can handle your project with ease and give you the peace of mind to know the professionals are caring for your valuable golf course assets. Visit golfpreservations.com or call 606-499-2732 to talk to us directly about your next project.
And we appreciate Gulf Preservations for signing on as a sponsor of TurfNet's renovation report. You mentioned some of the time frame of the renovation. Were there any significant hurdles to getting the renovation started, or did things start up pretty much as you expected?
No, things started up as expected. You know, there was a learning curve. Well, there's sort of two questions there. One, you know, how did it start with regard to the entire project? But once it did start, there was probably a 2 or 3 learning curve, you know, getting used to the contractor that was on property, them getting used to the routing of the golf course, them working with my staff, us working alongside them. But once things really got ramped up, it's been a great experience up to this stage so far. You know, we're probably halfway point. We expect to have construction itself finished around August 7th. So we're moving along. Almost every hole has had some sort of impact on it already.
Are there any particular aspects that took place while it was going on that stood out as being either particularly more difficult once you got into the project or that something came up that you hadn't really anticipated on this particular part of the project? Because, you know, obviously there are certain things that come up that you don't anticipate until the dirt's actually being dug.
Sure. I mean, a couple of polar things, I would guess. One was we had a lot of activity from our membership wanting to go out the back of their house in the evening time and see what work had been done behind their home. So to alleviate that issue, I have been conducting walkabout tours of the golf course every 2 weeks with our members that are still on property. The first one we had, there was about 50 people that attended it, and then about 25 for the next two that we've held. And what that does, it allows me to walk through the areas that I know are safe, where there's no trenches or holes or berry pits that are being created, and I can verbally explain what is going on, what the different piles of sand and soil and gravel mean, ease their mind when they see a big pile of something stuck behind their house and they think it's going to stay there. So that has been very well received by the membership. But then as far as the construction is concerned, one of the benefits of doing a renovation is typically you're building up, and so we haven't really had any issues with finding anything buried underground for the most part. However, we did intend to join two lakes together on one of my holes, on hole 7, to generate soil to make some changes to the greens complexes and some bunkering on that hole. And we ended up finding a berry pit from when the golf course was first constructed, and we found gravel and rock and all kinds of junk, for lack of a better word, that we couldn't utilize for our intended purposes. And so we've had to make a modification on the fly on that hole. And but that's where you have a good architect, and he can make those changes and keep moving forward.
Now, I noticed in looking at your blog that you've also used it looks like you're using a drone camera to take some footage of the renovations and the progress.
Yeah, the communication has been invaluable. Not only the walkabout tours that I've been doing, but the club has also engaged one of its members who is considered somewhat of a journalist. He's been doing weekly email blasts to the membership. And then on top of that, I've been doing my blogs that some of the TurfNet members have seen. And the use of a drone has just been phenomenal. In fact, at the last board meeting, there was a round of applause for my drone. It was quite funny. The membership truly get a good feel for what is happening. They like the view from behind their house. I'll get emails and phone calls asking if I can get a certain angle to a particular part of the golf hole that they live on. A drone has just been fantastic. It's a great way to, you know, tell a story. The videos, I'm starting to put together a video through iMovie, which is going to be pretty special for the members to see once things, you know, start happening with grassing, which is starting this week. But, yeah, communication has been huge, and a drone has been a good part of that.
Well, it seems like between the walkabouts, the drone reports, your blog, some of the newsletter or journalistic approaches to covering it, that you've really found a nice way to engage the members in the progress of the renovation. And as we all know, that in this job, communication is key to getting support for projects of this magnitude, and also for the smaller projects that might come along, you know, once you're done. Are there any recommendations that you would have to superintendents who are interested in perhaps a renovation of this size, or maybe a smaller renovation, in terms of, you know, how they should get started in the process?
Well, truthfully, you hit the nail on the head. Communication is key, whether it be starting to talk with your green committee about something you want to do, you know, whether it be a small modification to a bunker or a green or a tee, or eliminating some trees or adding plants, and then moving up the chain, talking to your board of directors, getting them out onto the golf course so they can understand it. What you're trying to do, because you may have a vision in your mind of what you want, and then trying to educate those that have been CEOs of, you know, Fortune 500 companies, as an example, trying to make them understand what's going on can be a challenge. And then it comes down to communicating with your own staff as to what the expectations are for them during the project, and then communicating with your managers, because they're the ones that are typically face-to-face with your membership, you know, serving lunches or dinners or cocktails, and we all know about how bar talk goes. And then once the construction does start, you know, communicating with your company that you're working with, you know, the superintendent and even their staff. We've had some barbecues here where we've had my guys and their staff members come together as one and make them realize that we're working together for a common goal. So it's nothing rocket science. It's just things that you should be doing. But I'll be glad to have anyone call me at any time we'll come and visit and take a tour of the golf course to see what we've been doing. It's been working out very well for us.
Back on the architect and some of the focus groups that were run, were those focus groups that you were involved with as well, or was it just with the architect and their staff? Like, set the stage for us, who would be in the room or who would be part of one of those focus groups?
Yeah, great question. We only had the architect in the room. He invited me, but we chose not to have me in the room or any of the, what we had, the renovation committee, which was certain members of the club that were part of this whole deal getting it going. They didn't want anyone in the room that could have influenced someone's comments that they made. They didn't want to have me in the room and someone say, oh, we don't like the superintendent or what he's doing on hole 7. Or we wanted to have a very neutral, very open conversations. I did get to see the comments afterwards, and thankfully they were all very positive. But it was just the architect, and he was the one running the meeting, taking the notes, and guiding them through what he needed to hear to be able to make his presentation for the master plan.
Well, when you hear about all the talk about what is necessary to grow the game of golf and all these different audiences that golf needs to reach out to, either keep them playing the game or have them start playing the game, I think it was a smart move, obviously, to have all the different types of golfers that are there at the club represented in these focus groups. Is there one or two things that either surprised you or that came out of the focus groups that became part of the renovation that maybe you hadn't anticipated before that process began?
Nothing that was unusual. We knew through conversations with some of the higher handicap golfers and some of the female golfers that we have a very long golf course down here, and we wanted to build some forward tees and separate some of the tee locations from each other. And so we're probably adding 5 new forward tees to honestly offer the chance for the higher handicap golfers to try to get on the green in 2 or at least within what is normal to be able to get a shot at a birdie or at least get a par most of the time. We wanted to make it fun. There were other comments from some of the lower handicap golfers where they wanted to reduce some of the landscaping in the landing areas, where they may have hit a good shot and the ball just happened to go through the end of the fairway into where we put some native grasses. So basic things like that. But overall, the focus groups were excellent. They gave some great feedback to Kip Schulteis, and he utilized that in his plan, and he's executed it very well.
Well, and one thing that people don't realize about focus groups is, granted, you guys were working with a golf course architect, but there should be plenty of resources for someone that could run something like that in the same format that you guys set up without the superintendent there, without the green committee there. You know, there might be a marketing executive who had done these as part of their job or what have you. So a course doesn't necessarily have to go out and have an architect on site, doing a focus group like that to get some of that feedback and honest feedback about the direction that the course should take moving forward. Is there anything that you have learned in this process that you might have done differently if you had this to do all over again?
Well, only because we're halfway through the project. The next 8 weeks is going to be the critical one, especially with the rain already starting down here. We've had 2.5 inches on Sunday night, followed by 1 inch last night. So as the grass starts to get down, the common theme is you can never have enough sod. But up to this stage, everything's been very good. You just try to have a positive relationship with your construction superintendent. You want to let them do their job, but at the same time, you want to be making sure that they are doing their job. Don't feel intimidated by them. There are people out there that have done many renovations and construction work, and there are some that have never done it. So as long as you're doing it the right way and following up the right way, communicating back to your key members that things are progressing the way that they should be, that's my suggestion. Just work hand-in-hand with each other, and everything should be good.
Obviously, a renovation can be a stressful time for any operation, and the superintendent is obviously front and center in that regard. Are you finding that you're spending more time on the course, less time on the course because there is an active golf being played, or about the same?
No, I think more time on the golf course, actually, surprisingly for me. I was hoping to have done a little bit more administrative work up to this point, but honestly, you're getting pulled in so many directions with a project occurring this quickly. There's always something going on in some hole that you either want to see yourself or something that you're getting asked to come and inspect to make sure it's done the right way. and honestly, you just want to be out there. It's exciting. It's something new and different that from the norm of mowing greens and raking bunkers. And so you want to be out there. So I'm hoping that as the grass starts to go down and actual construction phase starts to diminish, I hope to be able to get in here and continue on my certification and Audubon recertification and things like that. But you definitely put in some hours, you know, 10 to 12 hours on most days, and then once the grass goes down, you know, someone will be here every hour that the irrigation is running, so there's no issue.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, I obviously appreciate the opportunity to get in front of you and some of the TurfNet members that may be considering a renovation. As I've said, you can contact me at any time. I'd be glad to help anyone out. I've relied on a lot of my peers in this area that have gone through renovation. I've gone and visited their golf course to see what they did right and also what they did wrong, or if they can shed some light on some things they would have done differently, similar to what we're talking about today. Yeah, just here to help anyone.
I've been down there on site filming a few times for TurfNet TV, so we certainly appreciate your contributions in that regard, and we urge anybody that would like to learn a little bit more about Copper Leaf to go onto TurfNet TV and our tips and tricks, and you'll find David's contributions right away. And maybe we'll have you on the renovation report later in the year to just find out how the second half went and see what else you've learned and what else you'd like to share in that regard. David Dorr-Smith, thank you so much for joining us on TurfNet's Renovation Report, and you have a great rest of the renovation.
Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you soon.
From greens drainage to sod work, Golf Preservations can handle your project with ease and give you the peace of mind to know the professionals are caring for your valuable golf course assets. Visit golfpreservations.com or call 606-499-2732 to talk to us directly about your next project. TurfNet's Renovation Report is brought to you by Jacobson, makers of the all-new Truckster XD. The Truckster XD is a true heavy-duty utility vehicle and has the largest standard payload capacity in its class. It features a rugged and durable box made from thick 12-gauge steel and is paired with the most powerful gas Kubota engine available. The all-new Jacobson Truckster XD is designed to make your next renovation, or whatever your next project is, easier.
I'm John Kiger, your host of the Renovation Report. Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to be a part of the TurfNet Renovation Report, contact me on the TurfNet website or at jkiger@turfnet.com.